Well, welcome back again. You ready for another installment of verse-by-verse Bible teaching? I hope so, because the Word of God is all-powerful, and it is a life-changing Word. And this is why we teach verse-by-verse, because we believe that it is the entirety of God's Word that is going to truly change people. It's the entirety of God's whole counsel that this world really needs in this day and age. Can I get an amen for that? Well, my name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, as you might probably already know, we're the owners and the operators of the Wash and Word. That's the hand car wash business. You can find us in Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're there in the Palace Shopping Center, and we invite you to come by, get your car washed. This is how we support this ministry. And so if you believe in verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you think that the Word of God needs to be put out into the culture and into our society in a way that is non-traditional, or I should say in addition to the church, then support us by just coming by and, again, letting us work to earn the money. We believe, like Paul, that we should be workers of God's Word and not peddlers of it. And that's our motto here. We exist to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. So come on by, support us by getting your car washed. Go to the washandword.com website if you have any questions. That's washed, letter N, word.com. And I want to invite you to live verse-by-verse Bible teaching at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. We're right over there across from the Church Hill swimming pool. And then you can join me there at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching there. All right, so let's get back to where we are today, and that is in 1 Corinthians. We're beginning chapter 10 here. Paul is moving his way through the first letter to the Corinthians, and we're working our way through it as well. So chapter 10, Paul is going to continue now in his exhortation, and the direction he's going to head now is to start looking at Israel, because remember now that the people in Corinth were Christians. A lot of them were Jewish by descent, and then they became Christians. So he's going to use some of Israel's history now to further elevate his point. And let's go ahead and begin chapter 10, verse 1. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea." He's, of course, referring to the tabernacle in the desert and the parting of the Red Sea with Moses. "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert." Let's stop right there. Now, even though we've changed chapters, the tail end of the theme here in chapter 10 is still with us from chapter 9. And that theme is that consistent indulgence of sinful behavior creates a spiritual desert. You've probably experienced this in your own life. A consistent indulgence of sinful behavior, that is, you aren't stopping it, is going to create a spiritual desert, because God will not continue to dwell where sin is present. There must always be an effort to remove oneself from that sin. And even if the effort is a resulting of failure, God knows the heart. God's checking the motive. He's seeing if we're truly trying to change and just falling victim to this sinful and weak flesh. But a consistent indulgence of sinful behavior is going to create a spiritual desert. And this is why Paul brings up the Israelites and in Moses, where he says God wasn't pleased with a lot of them. Because listen, at some point God is going to say, "I cannot trust you any longer with this spiritual power or this ministry, maybe even this life." And many people who once shone so bright with power and influence and promise, somewhere along the way, they hesitated and they stopped pursuing spiritual discipline. And when you stop pursuing spiritual discipline, you will begin to have consistent indulgence within sinful behavior. And when that happens, I guarantee you, friends, you will stumble. And listen, this spiritual battle, this spiritual race that we're in, it doesn't get easier the more spiritual we get. That is, the more spiritually mature we get, you would think that this spiritual walk becomes easier. But since the goal is perfection and Christ, then we will never attain a level of easiness. Because in order to get to perfection, you've got to consistently and constantly go to higher levels. And so the more disciplined you are, the more spiritual you are, literally the harder the walk is going to become, because God is moving, but it's not an end game. You see, the blessings and the life of peace and the life of influence you have on others becomes greater and greater as your spiritual maturity becomes more mature and more mature. And so as a result, you become a bigger and better instrument for the Lord. So even though the walk doesn't necessarily get easier, the influence gets greater. And that alone is worth it. You know, when I was younger, I used to run and jog. And, you know, it was just to kind of keep up my muscles and my stomach. And then as I entered into my 30s, I had to run just to try to keep my stomach in check. Now that I'm 50 years old, I find it hard to run at all. But even when I do, it isn't to keep my stomach in check anymore. It's to try to just to keep it from ever expanding. It's like the older I get, the harder it is. Even though I run just as hard or just as much, it's harder and harder to keep this stuff in check. And that's the way it is with our spiritual walk. It gets harder and harder to keep the flesh. And I'm telling you this because I don't want to fill my listeners with false hope of glorious days ahead, of a life that is filled with prosperity and easiness and blessing and all this other good stuff. No, listen, it's going to get harder to walk the walk as the time continues to march on. Look around. Every single TV show program that you that's out there has innumerable recollections and inferences and just straight up in your face sinful behavior and sinful characters. And it's everywhere you look. It's everywhere you go. This society isn't getting better. It's getting worse. And if you are going to choose to be a warrior for Christ as the days wind down, you are going to have to make the decision today. No, not the decision to be saved, not a decision to be, you know, to get more spiritual. No, a decision that says, I am aware that if I continue to walk in the truth, and if I continue to live in the truth, and I continue to broadcast that truth, then I've got to be aware that I am going to face some great persecution in the very near future. Very near future. Because it is getting worse, and it's getting worse at a rapid rate. And so this is why we've got to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? And for whatever reason that these Corinthians may have given themselves over to their wrong behavior and their lustful flesh, and same goes for us. When we fall into those behaviors, it's never going to end in a good way. Paul said back in chapter 9, in verse 27, it was the last verse we read in our last teaching, he says, "No, I beat my body and I make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Listen, your spiritual power and your ministry, if it isn't guarded, if you don't protect it, and even more importantly, if you don't use your ministry, your gifts, your service, it is subject to decay, derailment, even dismissal. God put the entire nation of Israel, his chosen people, on a shelf for a time. And if God can do that with his beloved chosen people, he certainly can do it to us who are grafted in and are taking for granted the grace given to us through Jesus Christ. Judges 14:19 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power." It's talking about Samson. And in Judges 15, it says, "As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and the ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 Philistines. And in the next chapter, Judges 16, it says, then she called him, that's Delilah, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep, and he thought, I will go out as before, and I will shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Probably one of the saddest scriptures in all of the Bible. And then the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes, and they took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grind in prison. Friends, if we take for granted that which God has bestowed upon us in this covenant of Christ, and that bestowing is gifts, it's ministry, it's service, it's spiritual disciplines, it's denying self for the benefit and sake of others. If we take all that for granted, we're going to wake up one day, we're going to go out and we're going to think we're going to be battling the forces of evil, battling the Antichrist culture. And when we stand up there thinking that God is on our side, we too may find out that the Lord has left us. And the saddest part of that scripture is he didn't even know it. And let me tell you something. The way the church is being set up out there with its gospel light and its Bible scarcity, there are countless congregations who think they're ready for battle, and when it really comes down to it, they're going to find themselves standing in a field ready for war, and they're going to be holding on to their donut and to their fill-in-the-blank bulletin while the swords of their Bible are buried under the dust of the shelves. Listen, we either use it or we lose it. Israel continued in their sin and their disobedience, and God, it says in verse 5, scattered them. Even them, Israel. They went from being led by the Shekinah glory of God, passing through a parted Red Sea, donned with spiritual power and blessing, yet they found themselves in the desert, searching for water, both physically and spiritually. They were parched. Friends, consistent indulgence of sinful behavior creates a spiritual desert. And so Paul continues now with this example of Israel, verse 6. Now, these things occurred as examples to us, or to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Oh, we got to stop right there. That was some powerful preaching by Paul. He's reminding them of how God's chosen people have stumbled and grumbled, and all it cost them was everything. But I love how he ends that in verse 13. He says, yes, I know you struggle with sin. I know you struggle with temptation. I know you struggle with the flesh that dwells within you. Friends, God knows all of these things. He knows the trouble that we have down here. But he has not given us any temptation that he has not also provided us a way out under it. And if we are falling into sin and temptation, it's simply because we are weak and not exercising the power that we already have. Well, that about wraps it up for this study. We're going to pick this up because there's a little bit more about what we just read I want to talk about in our next study. So join me again here on WMCH. at 1260 AM radio, Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. That's when we air originally. You can come into the parking lot of the Washington Word 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and turn on 107.1 FM. We play all these messages on a loop, so they're always going. Have a blessed day.